Entire Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippurim is taken from Parashas Akrei Mois. In the morning, Shacharis, of course, we lay in the part, the section of Parashas Akrei Mois that deals with the procedure that was followed by the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. And in the afternoon at Mincha, we lay in the section of Parashas Akrei Mois that deals with the Arayos, the forbidden and incestuous relationships. And from the fact that these two topics are juxtaposed in the same parasha, and from the fact that they're reunited once again in the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippurim, seems to indicate that there is a deep relationship between these two topics. It's not just coincidental that they happen to fall out in the same parasha, because they're reunited again here in the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippurim. However, the Avodah of Yom Kippurim deals with the holiest man and the holiest place on the holiest day of the year. And the Arayos is the most unspeakable acts of immorality. What could possibly be the connection between these two topics, which seem like they could not be more disassociated from one another? Moreover, Rashi and Tosfos and Masechtas Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph explain that the reason why we lay in the parasha of the Arayos on Yom Kippurim is because these Averos are things which unfortunately are all too common and ensnare many people. Certainly in our time, both in the physical world and the virtual world, online, these things are taking place. And therefore it needs to be reiterated, repeated again. It's not enough to read it once, Parashas Akrei Mois, once a year. It needs to be repeated again. Okay, so it needs to be repeated. But why now? At Mincha of Yom Kippurim, after a person's been fasting for 20 hours, we've clapped al chait, we've been sitting in shul, we've been davening and screaming to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're almost like malachim at the apex, the crescendo, the culmination of the holiest day of the entire year. Now, we need to read the parasha of the Arayos. There could be nothing that is further from our minds at this point in time. Repeat it some other time. Why now? The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Becheiros that it takes 40 days for a child to be formed inside of its mother, for the Vlad to be formed. It's 40 days of Yetziras HaVlad. In fact, Rabbi Yitzchak Eisenkover suggests that that's why we refer to a mother as an Aim. Aim, Aleph Mem, Gematria 41, because she doesn't become a full mother, you know, a real mother, until the 41st day of her pregnancy when the Vlad has been formed. And the Maharal suggests that perhaps these 40 days of Yetziras HaVlad correspond to the fact that there are 40 levels to every person's spiritual personality. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Avodah Zarah that Ein Adam Oimed Al Das Rabbi, a person does not fully internalize and grasp all that he's been taught by his Rebbe until he reaches the age of 40, as Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael at the end of their travels in the Midbar, in Parshas Kisavo, Yivolei Nosen Hashem Lochem Lev Lodas, Einayim Liros Vaznayim Lishmaya Ad HaYom Hazeh, Kadosh Baruch Hu has not given you the understanding, in order to know, the eyes to see, the ears to hear, everything that has taken place and digest everything that has transpired. And the Gemara derives from there that only at the end of 40 years does a person really grasp, really internalize and digest everything that was taught to him by his Rebbe. And perhaps it takes 40 years corresponding to these 40 years of our 40 levels of our spiritual personality. It takes 40 years for a person to reach spiritual maturity. For the same token, it took 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, in order to receive the Torah for us to those 40 days corresponding again 40 levels of our spiritual personality. Perhaps at the time of the Mabul, it also took 40 days for the world in order to reconstitute itself on a higher spiritual plane, move itself, distance itself from the Averos of the Dor HaMabul. And Rav Moshe Wolfson continues in a Sefer Amunah Sitech and builds upon this notion of the Maral, that that's why when a person becomes Tamei, so he has to immerse himself in a mikvah that contains within it 40 sa to purify all levels, again, of his spiritual personality. So Maral continues and he develops this in other venues as well. Maral suggests that's why when a person performs an Avera, which one is Chayv Malchus. So the Pasuk says in Parashas Kisetze, Arboim Yakenu. He requires Malchus 40 times. Some Sefer has this as well. Again, corresponding to these 40 days of Yetziras HaVlad, these 40 levels to every person's spiritual personality. However, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Makkos as we know, and elsewhere, the Chazal lowered this number from 40 to 39. Of course, it only requires 39. Even the Torah says 40, Chazal lowered it and interpreted it that it really only means 39 times Malkus. So both the Samsef and the Maral explain, that's because Chazal understood, even when a person performs Averus, and it seems like he's steeped in Averus, he's performed many Averus, at the same time, there's always one part of himself, you know, what some Chassidish Svarim would refer to, Zinekuda HaPnimis, that Pintalayi, that little bit deep, deep down, he might even be conscious of it, that part of his personality that has never become tainted by the Avera. And therefore, Chazal said, it's enough with 39 times Malkus, because there's one level of a spiritual personality that's still Tahar. No matter how many Averis you performed, it's only 39 times Malkus. Because you never a person cannot corrupt that deep down that level of his spiritual personality. So perhaps that's why the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Kama tipshoi, Malkus. Kama tipshoi, shar inchi. How foolish are certain individuals. The Kaimi Mikami Sefer Torah, they stand up in front of a Sefer Torah. Velo Kaimi Mikami Gavar Rabba, but they do not stand up in front of a Talmud Chacham. Why? Are they foolish? Sefer Torah, they stand up. A Talmud Chacham, they don't stand up. So the Gemara says, no, because Chazal taught us. Anshei Knesset HaGedor were the ones who lowered it from 40 times Malkus to only 39. So that's a reason to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. Is that because they did us like a favor? They were lenient in our judgment. They lowered it from 40 to 39. So they did us a favor. So we have to, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So we stand up for them. What is this all about? And why are they foolish? So the Chida explains in his commentary on the Gemara that Tipshoi, of course, is the letters Tes, Pei, and Shin, which could, if you rearrange them, also could be spelled, you know, could be rearranged to the word of Pshat, which means simple. The superficial understanding of something. So Chida explains the Gemara in the following way. He says, Kama tipshoi sharinchi. How foolish are certain individuals that they stand up for a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. Because they say a Talmud Chacham is not the same as a Sefer Torah. Says the Chida, they're being foolish because all they're seeing is the pshat. All they're seeing is the physical, superficial Talmud Chacham, but they don't recognize that beneath that, on a deeper level, every Talmud Chacham is really a walking Sefer Torah. They don't have to see the deeper level of what's taking place here. And Chazal already taught us that there's no 40 times Malkus, only 39, because they don't just view the superficial actions that a person performed, then he performed in Aver, and therefore all 40 levels of his spiritual personality have been corrupted. They saw deeper, and they see that there's one part of the personality, one deep down inside wants to do the Ratzon Hashem, that's never corrupted. Chazal saw the deeper personality. And so therefore, how could they not have learned that lesson? And if they learned that lesson, they wouldn't just see the pshat, they'd see a deeper Talmud Chacham. They would stand up not only for a Sefer Torah, but they would stand up for a Talmud Chacham as well. And recognize to see beyond the pshat, that every Talmud Chacham is really a walking Sefer Torah. The Bnei Yisachar continues and builds on this principle. And he tells us that's why there's 40 days between Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippurim. Because every year we spend these 40 days refashioning, recreating, reimagining our spiritual trajectory and arc. Where do we see ourselves in terms of trending closer to our Kadosh Baruch Hu? Rav Moshe Wolfson again continues and he says that that's why there's one day though that corresponds to that part of our spiritual personality that's never been corrupted, that was always going in the right direction, that was always going towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's Yom Kippurim. We don't have to refashion, reimagine anything. Yom Kippurim was always the way it should have been. That's that part of ourselves that always wanted to do the Ratzon Hashem. That's that one day of all 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippurim. That was perfect. Therefore, the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, Satan, the word that we use to describe the Yetzer Hara, Gematria 364. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, that it's because the Yetzer Hara has influence over us, control over us, 364 days out of the year. But there's one day in the solar calendar, 365 days. There's one day when the Yetzer Hara says, you know what, I'm going to stay home today. I'll leave them alone. And that's Yom Kippurim. The Yetzer Hara doesn't even bother on Yom Kippurim. So here we are. Yom Kippurim. The one day where there's no Yetzer Hara. He doesn't start up with us. He's not bothering us. This is the one day at the height of the day we're similar to Malachim. We're at the Nekuda HaPnimis. The one day when we're really tapping into who we really are. at the culmination, the apex, the climax of that day, what do we read at Mincha of Yom Kippurim? The Parsha of the Arayos, the most unspeakable acts of immorality and of incest and forbidden relationships. Now is the time that Chazal chose to remind us of this Parsha of the Arayos. Why now? Why now? On the holiest day of the year, at the climax of the day. Why now? And what does this have to do with the Avodah of Yom Kippurim? How could the two be juxtaposed in the same parasha, united again in the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippurim? And finally, usually the Haftarah of every Kriyas HaTorah echoes or highlights the theme of the parasha itself. For example, the Shabbos, coming Shabbos after Yom Kippur, we're going to learn the parashas Hazinu, which says Shiras Hazinu, and the Haftarah is Shiras David, or the Kriyas HaTorah parashas Vezayis HaBracha, which we learn on Simchas Torah, the Haftarah is Sefer Yehoshua. And Moshe discusses the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Sefer Yehoshua picks up where parashas Vezayis HaBracha left off and discusses how Yehoshua carried on the leadership of Kol Yisrael. Usually the Haftarah is connected to the Haftarah, is connected to the parasha. However, after the Kriyas HaTorah of Arayos, at Mincha Yom Kippurim, the Haftarah is Sefer Yonah, which is a familiar story of how Yonah was given the mission to give rebuke to the people of Nineveh, and he attempts to run away from that mission and hide inside, unsuccessfully, and hide and abscond inside of a fish. What does that have to do? What theme is that echoing, highlighting, bringing out in the Kriyas HaTorah of the Arayos? How is one connected to the other? However, in order to understand all of these things, I think we need to take a step back and understand why is that we lane Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha in the first place, on Yom Kippurim. After all, we only lane, other Yomim Tovim, we do not lane by Mincha, only after Shacharis, except for, of course, Shabbos and every Tainas Tzibur, every fast day. So we lane by Echal. So why is it that we lane on Yom Kippur? And Rabbi Akiva Eger has a chakira about this in his Shuvos and Simul Chav Daled. Is it that we lane on Yom Kippur because the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur is different than that of the other Yomim Tovim, and it's more similar to that of Shabbos, and we lane on Yom Kippur because even though other Yomim Tovim don't demand the Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon, Yom Kippurim does, it's on a higher plane, more similar even to Shabbos than the other Yomim Tovim. And therefore, the Kriyas HaTorah of Mincha and Yom Kippur is a function of the fact that it's Yom Kippur. Or perhaps we lane at Mincha and Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur, in the end of the day, is a Tainus. It's a Tainus Tzibur. So instead of laning by Echal, we lane the Parsha of the Arayos. But we lane no different than any other Tainus Tzibur. It's a function of the fact, not of the Kedushas Hayoim of Yom Kippur, the fact that Yom Kippur is a Tainus Tzibur. That's the Chakir of Rabbi Akiva Eger. What's a Nafkamina? So Rabbi Akiva Eger says a Nafkamina will be, a difference will be, a person who's not fasting on Yom Kippur, he's not feeling well. Sick. So he needs to break his fast. He's not fasting. So if we lane at Kriyas HaTorah Mincha on Yom Kippur, because it's no different than any other Tainus Tzibur, so then just like a Tainus Tzibur, a person who's not fasting cannot get an Aliyah by Mincha, because he's not fasting. So to on Yom Kippur, a person who's not fasting, if he's drinking, because he has to, fine. But he shouldn't be able to get an aliyah, mincha, and Yom Kippur. He can't buy maftir yana that year. However, if we lane on Yom Kippur, not because it's no different than any other Tainus Tzibur, it's because Yom Kippur is different than the other Yomim Tovim, it's more similar to that of Shabbos. And just like Shabbos, we lane at mincha, so to the day of Yom Kippurim demands that we lane in the afternoon, Kedushas Hayoim, nothing to do with the fact that it's a fast day, so then even a person who's not fasting had to break his fast because of a medical condition, can still get an aliyah at Mincha of Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Akiva Eger leaves this as kind of an unresolved suffix that he has. However, the Marcheshes, that's a Chanuch Henech Egis, of course, was a great guy who lived in Vilna, who was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, in 1941. So he has in his Sefer, the Marcheshes, that this perhaps depends on a machlekes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Because with regards to the brachas on the Haftarah that we say by Maftar Yayin at Mincha on Yom Kippur. Because the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Shabbos and the Chav Dalet that if Shabbos coincides with Rosh Chodesh, so of course there's a Haftarah. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, by morning we're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah of every Shabbos. And there's a Haftarah. So in the brachas of the Haftarah on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Shechalias b'Shabbos, when Rosh Chodesh coincides with Shabbos, we don't mention the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh in the brachas of the Haftarah. Why? So the Gemara explains that it's because the Haftarah is not a function of the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh doesn't demand a Haftarah. It's Kriyas HaTorah, no Haftarah. It's only waiting Haftarah because it's Shabbos. So we only mention the fact that it's Shabbos. We don't mention the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh in the brachas of the Haftarah. It's not a function of the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. Similarly, Shulchan Aruch passings on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. So we don't lane, we lane every day of Chol HaMoed, but we don't lane a Haftarah. So the Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, we don't mention the fact that it's Pesach in the brachas of the Haftarah. We only mention the fact that it's Shabbos. Because the Haftarah is a function of the fact that it's Shabbos, not a function of the fact that it's Pesach. And even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins, curiously, that on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, Sukkos, you do mention the fact that it's Sukkos in the brachas of the Haftarah, the Gra disagrees. We have to understand why the Shulchan Aruch says that. However, the Gra disagrees. It implies the same line of reasoning, that you should not mention Sukkos, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos in the Haftarah, because again, the Haftarah is not a function of the fact that it's Chol HaMoed Sukkos, it's a function of the fact that it's Shabbos. There is one exception to this rule, which the Gemara brings up in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Chaf Daled, and that is Ni'ila on Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur coincides with Shabbos. Of course, on every Shabbos, we only have four tefillas. There's Mariv, Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha. On Yom Kippur, there's a fifth tefillah of Ni'ila. So Ni'ila is only a function of the fact that it's Yom Kippur. You don't daven Ni'ila every Shabbos. Nonetheless, the Gemara says that on Yom Kippurim Shechalias B'Shabbos, so we mention the fact that it's Shabbos in Ni'ila. It's mentioned in Ni'ila. Even though Ni'ila is not a function of the fact that it's Shabbos, it's only a function of the fact that it's Yom Kippur. So why do we mention Ni'ila? Why do we mention Shabbos in Ni'ila when Yom Kippur coincides with Shabbos? So the Arsameach explains that it's because Yom Kippur and Shabbos are not two events that happen to be coinciding on the same day. Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, so it happens to be Shabbos, it happens to be Rosh Chodesh, and the two have coincided. You know, they happen to fall out on the same calendaric day, but they really don't share common ground. Rosh Chodesh is one thing, Shabbos is another holiday, you know, other event. So it's, you know, Shabbos plus Rosh Chodesh. However, when Yom Kippurim falls out on Shabbos, Dor Sameach says the two do share a common theme. They blend together in to become one Kedushas Hayom. So it's not Shabbos plus Yom Kippurim. It's Shabbos, you know, hyphen or slash or whatever. Shabbos, Yom Kippurim, all together. All together in one. They blend together in to become one, constitute one unique character of the day. So our Sameach continues, so that's why the Magen Avraham says that if a person has to break his fast in Yom Kippurim, so he doesn't make Kiddush in Yom Kippur. If he has to break his fast for medical reasons, no Kiddush. So Magen Avraham explains, because Chazal never composed the text of Kiddush, a Nusach of Kiddush for Yom Kippur. So Rekiva Eger asks, what if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? Let him at least say the Kiddush from Shabbos. There's no text for Yom Kippur or Kiddush for Yom Kippur. Let him say the text for Shabbos. And of course, that's not the minig. Even if you have to Yom Kippur Mischalias B'Shabbos, there's no Kiddush. So Or Sameach suggests that perhaps it's because Yom Kippurim, when it coincides with Shabbos, it's not two separate things that are happening on the two different days, you know, happen to be happening on the same day, two events coinciding on the same day. They blend together in to become one composite day. And there's no Kiddush on Yom Kippurim, so there's no Kiddush on Yom Kippurim Shechalias B'Shabbos. It's not Shabbos and Yom Kippurim that are happening simultaneously. It's all blending in together to become one unique day. And just like there's no Kiddush on Yom Kippurim, there's no Kiddush on Yom Kippurim Shechalias B'Shabbos. Why do they blend together in? Why is it different than Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh? So Sameach explains, because both Shabbos and Yom Kippurim are referred to as Shabbos Shabbosan. Parshas Kisisa, Shabbos is called the Shabbos Shabbosan, a Shabbos of rest. And Yom Kippurim, Parshas Emor, is referred to as a Shabbos Shabbosan. Both are referred to as a Shabbos Shabbosan. Why? Because they share the same level of Isa Malacha. Every other yontif, a person is allowed to cook, to prepare food. Ach, asher yoichel l'chol nefesh. Hu levado yosu lachem. One is allowed to cook on every other yontif. On Shabbos, one is not allowed to do any malacha, kol malacha lo isasu, and the same is true on Yom HaKippurim. They share the same level of isa malacha, and therefore the two can blend in together to form one composite Kedushas HaYom of Shabbos hyphen Yom HaKippurim. In fact, the Vilna Gaon claims, it's a beautiful idea, that there are six Yomim Tovim that we have, the Deraisa throughout the year, where one is allowed, there's an isa malacha, but one is allowed to cook. You have Rosh Hashanah, first day Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, first day Pesach, Shvi Yishol Pesach, and Shavuot, six. The seventh Yontif is Yom HaKippurim. And in Yom HaKippurim, we have to refrain from more malachas. So the Vilna Gaon says, that's the pshat in the pasuk. It seems to be referring to Shabbos, when it introduces all of the Mayadim. It's a very unusual pasuk, which is addressed by the Ramban. The Torah says in Parashat Emor, introducing all of the Mayadim, Mayadei Hashem Asher Tikru Oysam B'Mayadam, Elahei Mayadai, these are going to be my holidays throughout the year. And instead of going straight to Pesach, at the beginning of the spiritual calendar, the Torah mentions, interrupts with Shabbos. Sheishes Yomim Tasim Malacha, V'yom HaShvi Shabbos Shabbos Mikra Kodesh. 6 days you should do Malacha, the seventh day is Shabbos Shabbos Mikra Kodesh. Why is Shabbos at the beginning of the Mayadim? So the Vilna Gaon suggests it's not referring to Shabbos, it's like a table of contents about what's about to come. There are 6 days of Yontif where there's certain malachas that are permitted. Malachas ofel nefesh for cooking. So sheishes yamim teyasim malacha. 6 days you can do malacha, meaning malachas ofel nefesh. Uvayoyim ashvi, but on the seventh Yontif that's going to be mentioned in the list of the annual yamim tovim, Shabbos, Shabbos, and Mikra Kodesh, that's referring to Yom Kippurim, one is not allowed to do any malacha at all. So that's why they all, Shabbos, Yom Kippurim, share that common aspect. Perhaps both refer to a Shabbos Shabbos on the seventh Yontif, the seventh day of the week, and combine together to become one character, one united character of a day. Okay, but that's Shabbos and Yom Kippurim. Usually, when two events coincide on the same day, they don't blend together in to become one composite day. And therefore, if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, we do not mention the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh in the Haftarah, because Haftarah, again, is a function of Shabbos, not a function of the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. How should we conclude the brachas of the Haftarah on Yom HaKippurim? Is the Haftarah a function of the fact that it's Yom Kippur, or is it just because it happens to be a Tainus Siva like any other Tainus? And therefore, we shouldn't mention the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur. If it's a function of the day of Yom Kippur, so then, okay, we have to mention, you know, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim. But if it's not a function of the day that it's Yom Kippur, it happens to be a Tainus like every other Tainus. This one happens to have a Haftarah with it. Okay. But we don't necessarily have to mention Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, we should conclude the brachas of Haftarah, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim. And explains the Marcheshes, because according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Haftarah, after the Kriyas HaTorah of Mincha, is a function of the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is different than the other Yomim Tovim. Other Yomim Tovim, there's no Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. Yom Kippur is similar to Shabbos, as we've explained. And therefore it requires, it demands, a Kriyas HaTorah, and it's followed by a Haftarah. The Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah paskins, and that's Aramaic, Ashkenazim, that we just conclude Magen David. No Mekadesh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikaron. It says the Marcheshes, that's because the opinion of the Ramah is that Yom HaKippurim does not demand a Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha. The Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha is not a function of the day of Yom HaKippurim, the Kedusha of the day, the character of the day. It's because it's a Taina Siva like any other Taina Siva. Like a Taina Siva during the week. So some add on that that's why we have the minig, it's quoted by the Minhage Vermaiza, but it appears in later Sfarim as well, and that's our minig, is that the Kriyas HaTorah of the Yomim Noraim, we use a special tune, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim. The Kriyas HaTorah of Mincha should be in the tune that we use the entire year, the regular tune of laning. We don't use the special tune that we use for the Rosh Hashanah in the morning of Yom HaKippurim. Why? Because it's a Kriyas HaTorah of every Tainus Tzibur. It's not a function of the day of Yom HaKippurim that it demands a Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. It's a Tainus Tzibur. So we use the Vachadik, we use the regular tune that we would use the entire year. Therefore, the Marcheshes concludes that a person who's not fasting in Yom Kippur cannot get an Aliyah by Mincha. Rav Shlomo Zalman adds on, if he's eating less than the forbidden amount, Pachos Mikashir, maybe he can get an Aliyah. The Chasam Sofer disagrees with the reasoning of the Marcheshes, not because of fundamentally, but technically, He says it's not the same as every other tainis. Even if the Kriyas HaTorah Mincha is a function of the fact that it's a tainis, not the function of the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur, but every other tainis, a person who's not fasting is precluded from getting an aliyah, because the fast only pertains, only is relevant, only is obligatory for those who are well. If you're not feeling well, the fast was never instituted for you. It was only instituted for those who are feeling well, for those who are up to fasting. If you're not up to fasting, the tainis doesn't exist for you. So therefore, some sefer says, if you're not fasting, you can't get an aliyah by the Kriyas HaTorah, because the whole day doesn't apply to you if you're not fasting. On Yom Kippurim, even if a person has to break his fast, it's not because the fast of Yom Kippurim doesn't apply to you, it's because the obligation of a Chai Bohem, maintaining your life, Pikuach Nefesh, overrides the obligations of Yom Kippurim. But Yom Kippurim exists for everybody, whether you're fasting or you're not. So it says, if some sefer, even if you're not fasting, you can still get an aliyah by mincha. Okay. However, just assessing what took place, according to the Maharal Hesher, the Kriyas HaTorah of mincha on Yom Kippur has nothing to do with the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur. It's the same as every other tainus that falls out on a weekday. And I believe that that perhaps teaches us that already at mincha on Yom Kippurim, we have, yes, we're still grounded in Yom Kippurim, one eye and one foot, Still, in what is taking place on Yom Kippur, we already have to begin thinking about, we already have to begin looking towards the weekday. We're already thinking about, perhaps, how we're going to take this experience with us throughout the rest of the year. In the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, which of course is the Kriyas HaTorah of the morning, so it's not structured, which appears in Parashat Zachrim, it's not structured the way the other Mayadim are communicated to Klal Yisrael. Most of the other Mayadim in Parshas Emor, let's say, first the Torah tells us what date it's going to occur. Pesach is the first month in the 14th day or the 15th day. And all the other Yomim Tovim, first we have the date, and then what transpires or what we're supposed to perform, the mitzvahs of the day. However, in Parshas Achrimos, it's somewhat backwards. First the Torah tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to command Aaron that al yava b'chol eis al hakodesh. First of all, you can't come in here every day. Any day you want, you can't come in. B'zois yavo Aaron al hakodesh. The only time he can come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is after performing the procedure of the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. And then, all the way at the end, the Torah says, by the way, after the entire Avodah of Yom Kippurim, psukim and psukim and psukim, finally, he says, by the way, Pam Achas B'Shana, only once a year, B'Chodesh HaShvi B'Esa L'Chodesh, the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month. Why is the date all the way at the end? Another problem is that the parasha of Avodah of Yom Kippurim, first Moshe Rabbeinu was told to communicate that just to Aaron. Daber al Aaron Achicha, al Yava B'Chol Esa L'Chodesh. There's no mention of any subsequent generations of Kohanim. It sounds like it applies just to Aaron. And it's only at the conclusion of the Avodah of Yom Kippurim that there, the Torah finally tells us, by the way, this applies to all subsequent generations of Kohanim as well. Again, why the focus on Aaron? Then only at the end, when the Torah tells us it's one day a year on the seventh month and the tenth day of the month, the Torah mentions, oh, by the way, this applies to subsequent generations of Kohanim as well. So Chayei Adam, the end of Hilchos Avelos, quotes from the Vilna Gaon, who explained that it's because there's two discussions that are taking place here simultaneously. The first is that all subsequent generations of Kohanim are only allowed to perform the Avodah of Yom Kippurim and enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year. Pamachas B'Shana, B'Kodesh HaShvi'i B'Esa L'Chodesh, on the seventh month and the tenth day of the month. However, Aaron was different. Aaron HaKohen was allowed to perform the procedure of the Avodah of Yom Kippurim any day throughout the year and enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why no date is mentioned. It says he can't come whenever he wants. B'zois yavo Aaron HaKodesh. He first has to perform the Avodah. But if he performed the Avodah, he could do it whenever he wants. But that was only Aaron. And therefore, it's not until the end of the parasha that the Torah tells us, by the way, this is only once a year, and all subsequent generations of Kohanim, yes, subsequent generations of Kohanim are limited to once a year. Aaron was allowed to perform the procedure of the Avodah Yom Kippur, but enter into the Kodesh HaKadosh whenever he would like, any day of the year. And the Meshul Chachma explains that this was because One was only allowed to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim when it was full of smoke. As the pasuk says, Ki be'anon eiro'el hakapoiros. So in all subsequent generations of Kohanim, the only day throughout the year when the Kodesh HaKadoshim was full of smoke was on Yom Kippurim, when they lit a ketores right outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, in the generation of Aaron HaKohen, when they were traveling throughout the Midbar, of course they were accompanied by an anan, a cloud. Ki be'anon eiro'el hakapoiros. So there was always... Ki anan al Mishkan Yoimam. There was always a cloud residing over the Mishkan. So since there was always a cloud residing over the Mishkan during the times of Aaron, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was always filled with smoke, and therefore Aaron could perform the procedure of Avodah Yom Kippurim and enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he would like. This suggestion of the Vilna Gaon, that really there's two discussions that are taking place here simultaneously. Subsequent generations of Kohanim only once a year. Aaron HaKohen could perform the Avodah Yom Kippurim whenever he would like and enter on any day of the year. As long as it was B'zayis Yav Aaron HaKodesh, he first followed the procedure that was laid out for Yom Kippurim. Perhaps this is alluded to already at the beginning of the parasha, because the parasha of Avodah Yom Kippurim is introduced with the word Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Acharei Moshe Nei B'nei Aaron. Kodesh Baruch Hu communicated to Moshe after the death of Aaron's two sons. But it begins Vayedaber. The very next pasuk again, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Daber al Aaron Achicha. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, speak to Aaron your brother. So it's Vayedaber followed by Vayomer. Usually topics have one term of introduction. You know, that Moshe Rabbeinu is meant to communicate, indicating Moshe Rabbeinu should communicate it to others. Either Vayedaber or Vayomer. Here there's both. Vayedaber, the very next pasuk, Vayomer. Why they're both there? So Chaim Knievsky explains in his Sefer on Chumash, the time of the Kora, that it's because there's a difference between Vayedaber and Vayomer. The Gemara says in Maseches Makis and Daf Yud Aleph, Vayedaber implies something, it's about, you know, communication that's l'dayros, that applies for all generations, not just for a specific window of time. Vayomer is introducing something that's limited just for that specific time period and not for the future. So it says of Chaim Knievsky, there were two things happening here. Vayedaber introduces Hashem al Moshe, Achrei Moshe Nei B'nei Aaron. That was introducing the parsha of Yom Kippurim that would apply to all subsequent generations of Kohanim. That was once a year. Achas Pashana B'chaydash HaShvi B'esel HaChaydash. Vayomer was for a specific window of time. Just during the generation of Aaron, he could perform the procedure of the Avodah Yom Kippurim and enter into Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he would like. Brilliant, but might the Hava, you know, it's beautiful and it fits into the psukah, but why? And but why is this relevant to us? Okay, Aaron could follow the procedure of the Yom Kippurim and enter into the Kodesh HaKadosh whenever he would like. What's that have to do with me and you? It would apply at one point in history. Maybe the Torah is just teaching us what applied during the generation of Aaron HaKohen. However, perhaps there is a lesson for each one of us, and perhaps the lesson is that the experience of Yom Kippurim is not limited to once a year. In all subsequent generations of Kohanim, it was only once a year. Achas b'shana v'chodesh hasvi b'esel l'chodesh. However, from the fact that Aaron could enter into the Kodesh HaKadosh whenever he would like, that teaches each one of us. Even though it was only one generation and one individual, that teaches each one of us that the experience of Yom HaKippurim impacts, can define, is relevant to every day throughout the year, just like it was for Aaron HaKohen. And that is because we have to take this experience with us throughout the rest of the year. The Kohen Gadol had two sets of garments that he wore. He had the golden garments, Big Day Zav, that he wore when he did the Avodah outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he had the Big Day Lavan, the white linen garments that he wore when he did the Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He couldn't, of course, wear the golden garments inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim because the gold reminded Kodesh Baruch Hu of the Chet HaEgel, and Ein Kategor Nasas HaNegor, the gold of the Chet HaEgel, cannot serve to advocate on our behalf. He had to switch from gold to white, and then when he came back out, he switched back from the white to the gold. So the Pasuk says, V'rochas B'saro U'veshom. Every time he switched, and he switched numerous times, in and out, every time he switched, coming in of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, out the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would have to go to the mikveh in between. So when he switched from the golden garments inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the white garments, he went to the mikveh. When he switched from the white garments in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to outside, the golden garments outside, he would have to go to the mikveh again. So if Zevin asks in his Sefer L'Torah V'Lomo Adam, he says, I understand when he went from outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim to inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The golden garments to the white garments, he's going from a place of lesser Kedusha to a place of greater Kedusha. You have to go to the mikveh. He says, when he was going from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, place of greater Kedusha, to the big day Zav, to wearing the golden garments outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, why do you have to go to the mikveh again? The greater Kedusha, the lesser Kedusha. So Zevin explains that it's because the Avod of Yom Kippurim is not only to know how to elevate ourselves, how to enter into Yom Kippurim, a place of greater Kedusha, but part of the Avod of the day is, part of the procedure, the obligation of the day, that which we have to be thinking about, is how to leave Yom Kippurim, how to take that experience with us out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim into our activities of the rest of the year. And therefore the Kohen Gadol, when he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, would also go to the mikveh, to bring it with him as he left to go to back to his regular activities of every day. You see, because the Yetzer Hara wants us to have a great Yom Kippurim. That's part of his plan. Like, he loves that. Chayalim gives a muscle to it. Because if a person wants to fatten up an animal in order to shecht it when it's as fat as possible, so what would you do? You know, obviously, considering animal cruelty or things like that. But what would you do in the times before that was a major consideration? So what would you do? Well, you would not feed the animal, you know, 3 square meals a day. If you did that, then the animal would eat till it was not hungry anymore and then stop eating. What they would do is they would starve the animal. And then he would gorge the animal on food. Since he was so starving for so long, he would eat more than he would eat at a normal meal. And he would get fatter and starve the animal again. And at the end, he would gorge him on food. Keep eating more and more because he was so hungry for so long. And so many people think you lose weight on a tinus. If you ask people, most people, who didn't take the time to think about it, you think you lose weight on a tinus or gain weight? Most people think you lose weight fasting a whole day. But you don't. You gain weight on a tinus. Why? Ask anybody who's ever monitored these things. Why? Because on a normal day, you have your routine of what you eat that you know you need in order to be satiated and get you throughout the day. However, on a tinus, everything's off. You're not on your normal routine. So you're starving. Then it comes the end of the day, and what do you, instead of eating your 2,500 calories, which you do on a normal day, you sit down and you're starving. You can't get enough. 4,000 calories. Most people gain weight on a tinus. It's the truth. Emes l'amitah. Why? Because it's so starving by the end. So to the Yetzer Hara says, oh, Yom Kippurim, enjoy yourselves. Wear your gartels and your kittels and your talesim and klap al chetz. Get into it, chuckle, cry, do whatever you need to do. Get it out now. And he says, after Yom Kippurim, you're all mine. That's what the Yetzer Hara wants. He wants us to have a good Yom Kippurim. He even leaves us alone on the whole day. Good, get it out now. Because after Yom Kippurim, we have a meeting. That's what he wants. So our avoid of the day is to know how to leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim as well, to take the experience of Yom Kippurim with us. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Tainis, part of the unique nature of the day of Yom Kippurim is not only because it's a Yom Slicha V'Chapara, a day of atonement and forgiveness, but also it's the day we receive the second set of Luchos. So the Tone the Rebbe explains in his new Sefer, in the Ori V'Yishi, is because just like in the second set of Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu took regular stones. They weren't Maisa Lakim like the first set of Luchos. They were Solachosh Ne Luchos Avonim, regular stones. And Moshe Rabbeinu inscribed upon them the words of the Torah, and because of that they became elevated to become a Cheftza of Kedusha, an object of intense holiness. So too, that happened on Yom Kippurim because our objective on the day of Yom Kippurim is to take our physical bodies, infuse it with Kedusha, and to bring it with us throughout the rest of the year, to be an item of intense Kedusha throughout the rest of the year. Kotzker Rebbe once said, he said, Ribbono Shel Olam has enough malachim in Shemayim to do that which he needs to be accomplished. He doesn't need more malachim. What a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from us in Yom Kippurim is not to become doima to malachim, but is rather to become heilige menschen, as he said, to take the experience of Kedusha of Yom Kippurim with us throughout the rest of the year. Pasuk says in Tehillim, HaShemayim Shamayim LaHashem. The heavens belong to Hashem. V'aretz nosan levnei adam. We're familiar with the pasuk. However, there's a word that's repeated. It's Hashamayim, Shamayim Lashem. The heavens belong to Hashem. Haaretz and Sanav Ne'elam. Why didn't the Pasuk say if it was going to be, you know, symmetrical? So it said Hashamayim Lashem. Haaretz and Sanav Ne'elam. Why is it Hashamayim, Shamayim Lashem? So Chidush Arim touched the Pasuk, he said, because everything has to be Lashem Shamayim. Everything has to be for the purpose of Shamayim, to be Kadosh. Shamayim Lashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of Shamayim, that's Lashem Shamayim. Ha'ares no sound of Ne'adam, that's our Tafkid. To take this world and make it also Lashem Shamayim. But everything has to be pointing towards Shamayim. And therefore, perhaps, at Mincha of Yom HaKippurim, as we already begin to lay in a Kriyas HaTorah of the week, it's a Mincha like any other Tainus Tzibur, is because we are encouraged now to think about how we're going to formulate a plan to take the experience of Yom HaKippurim with us throughout the rest of the year. It's relevant to every day. And therefore, perhaps it's Dafka now, in the same parsha, Parshas Achrei Mois, where we have the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, at the height, the climax, the culmination, the apex of the day of Yom HaKippurim, when we're similar to Malach, and we read the parsha of the Arayas, to remind us that there'll be an Acharei. There's going to be something coming after this, which is ugly, like the Arayas. It's incestuous, it's immorality, which is the world, unfortunately, that we live in, but we need to formulate a plan how we're going to take the Kedusha of Yom HaKippurim with us into the Acharei, which has the unfortunate reality of the Arayas. How are we going to take it with us? And the answer is, we don't want to take it with us. We don't want to go. If you would ask me, you know, the day of Yom HaKippurim, how are we going to enter back into that world, the real world of the Arayas? I'd say, that's it, I'm running away. I'm not going out there. I'm hiding back, ensconced in my spiritual cocoon of Yom HaKippurim. Perhaps that's why we follow the Kriyas HaTorah of the Arayas at Mincha of Yom HaKippurim, which encourages us to formulate a plan how we're going to take the Kedusha of Yom HaKippurim with us throughout the rest of the year. We read the Haftarah of Sefer Yoinah. Because the Vilna Gaon explains in his commentary on Sefer Yoinah, Sefer Yoinah is really, it's also, it's a story, but it's also perhaps an allusion, a remez, to the experience of the Neshama inside of the Guf. In fact, the Vilna Gaon notes, Yoinah is Gematria 71, and Adam 45, together with the Shem Havaya, 26, which corresponds to the Neshama, the Chelek Elokam Imao, inside each one of us, 45 and 26, also 71. Because Yoinah represents the experience of the Neshama inside of the Guf. And the Neshama does not want to leave the Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't want to go into the Guf and accomplish that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked it to do in this world, to give Musar to the people of Nineveh, and deal with the sins of this world. And the Neshama doesn't want to do that. In fact, the Talmud Yerushalmi says in Masechtas Brachos, why didn't Yonah want to go to Nineveh? Because he was sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, learning, basking in the glory of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who wants to go out? So therefore, Yonah said, forget it, I'm running away. And where did he run away to? He ran away to inside of a fish. Why specifically a fish? Yonah ran away to inside of a fish. So perhaps it's because the fish are, in fact, live in a world of the Ribbono Shel Olam. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam HaRishon, of course Adam HaRishon gives names to all of the animals of the world. However, the Chizkuni and the Radak both note that Adam HaRishon did not give names to the fish. We never find throughout all of Tanakh a name given to any specific fish. You know, we have a shor, is an ox. We have an aryeh, is a lion. A doiv, is a bear. Birds, the Torah has, you know, tens of names of birds. We never find a distinction between one fish or another, a salmon and a trout and a tuna. These things don't appear in the Torah. Why not? And all other animals make some sort of noise. Every animal makes a noise, if it's a krechs or if it's, you know, something more sophisticated. They make some noise. No fish, and please don't tell me about dolphins, no fish makes a noise. I mean, mammals, they don't make noise. No noise. Perhaps it's because the Maharal explains that fish live in a different world than our world. We live in one world, and Adam HaRishon gave names to everything that exists in our world. He did not give names to the fish because the fish make no noise. They have nothing to say to us because they live in a different world than we live in. I tried to convince my wife of this. That's why we shouldn't get a fish as a pet. He's not even living in our world. What do we need this thing for? Right? I didn't win that fight. But anyway, the fish, they don't live in our world. In fact, the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that at the time of the Mabul, All of the world became contaminated and corrupted with the chatam of that generation, the sins of that generation, the immorality of that generation. However, not the fish. The fish did not suffer any consequences in the Dor HaMabul. They were fine. And the Gemara says in Masechet Bracha that this fish are immune to Ayin Hara because they don't live in our world. The fish live in the world. It's in the water. It's an entirely different world. That's the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls entirely. This world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, grants us some measure of control. In that world, the world of the water, that's entirely the sole domain of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Pasuk says in Sefer Tehillim, Asher Eloi Hayom V'hu Asohu. Kadosh Baruch Hu owns the waters and He made them. Yabeshes Yadav Yatzaru. However, the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Yaitzer. And Yaitzer, the brother of the Gra, Rabbi Avram, says that Yaitzer implies something that's created together with others. However, Oiseh implies something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes all by Himself. Because the waters are, Asher Eloi Hayom V'hu Asohu, the waters as the sole domain of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Maral says, it's fascinating, but that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes groups of human beings who are chaitim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses often to punish them with water. Now, the Mabul, first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world, was with water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Egyptians. The waters of the Yam Suf came crashing down upon them. As Titus, after he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara tells him himself, again, he's traveling back after destroying the Beis HaMikdash, and a storm begins to rage and threaten to topple his boat, and Titus screams out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can only best me over the water. If we'd be on dry land, that would make it a fair fight. Why is it not a fair fight over the water? Because the water is Asher Eloi Hayom V'hu Asohu. That's only the domain, sole domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have no control over the water. In fact, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chavah writes that Elohim is a combination of two words, Kel Hayam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rulership, His domain over the world, is most easily recognizable over the water. Waters are the unique domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, she was coronated, everybody knows, the longest serving monarch, I think in the history of the UK, certainly perhaps in the history of the world. So she was coronated in 1952, but she wanted a day. All coronations in the UK are outdoors. So she wanted a day that wasn't going to rain. So she tasked her scientists to figure out what is the least likely day in the calendar to rain. UK has a lot of rain. When is the least likely day? You know, rains least often. And they determined June 2nd. That was the day of the coronation. And of course, punct on that day, it rained. Everybody knows famously. It rained on that day. So I once heard a Rav suggest, a refiner from the Five Towns, suggested brilliantly. He said, perhaps Kadosh Baruch Hu was showing the Queen of England who is the real king. She might be the Queen of England. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei Amlochim. He's the king of the world, and he expressed that perhaps most poignantly, most obviously, perhaps through the water. And the fish, which live in the water, in the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam, are therefore the holiest of all of the animals that exist within the world. As we know, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, and others, a minig to eat fish on Shabbos. Why dafka fish? The suda, the tzaddikim will enjoy las, the lovos, the sudas with yasan, which is also fish. Why fish? Because fish are the holiest of all of the animals that exist in creation. In fact, the Sefer Tamei HaMenhagim says that that's why fish don't have eyelids. Fish don't really sleep. Machlekes, whether they sleep or they don't sleep, but they don't sleep in the same way that other animals sleep. They never close their eyes. Even when they're sleeping or resting, they don't close their eyes. The Sefer Tamei HaMenhagim suggests perhaps because they're always ready, waiting, and able, for the orders of the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever the Ratzon Hashem is, 24/7, they're ready to accomplish whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks them to accomplish. That's why the fish never sleep. They're always ready for the commands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shlach HaKadosh actually writes, he says, if a tzaddik is ever in his galgal, is ever reincarnated into an animal, without a doubt, it will be a fish. That's what the Shlach HaKadosh writes. So it's well known that his son, Shlach first lived in Vienna. He married his wife was from Vienna. He later moved to Israel. But the Shlach writes, the Shlach's son, who took over there in Vienna, Sheftel Horowitz, so once happened that there was a guy was preparing fish for Shabbos. And the fish, you know, it's like a picture of a white fish, you know. And all of a sudden, the white fish came alive and said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and then went back. Gestorben, back to being dead. So the guy didn't know what to do with the fish, so he brought it to the Rav of the town of Shefto Horus. Shefto Horus told him, must be, it's a Gilgal from a tzaddik. We have to bury it in the base Hakvaris. You can't eat it for Shabbos. So they buried it in the base Hakvaris of Vienna. How does everybody know about it? Because in the old cemetery in Vienna, if you've ever visited Vienna, there's a new cemetery and an old cemetery. In the old cemetery, there's one matzeva shaped like a fish. So in the annals of that base Hakvaris, we're going back to the 1600s, in the annals, they explain why is there one matzeva shaped like a fish, and it's this story. Why did he come back as a fish again? Because the tzaddikim and his galgal and the fish. Why? Because fish are the holiest of all the animals. They live in the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, Yonah, who doesn't want to go out to the world of Chatoim, to Ninveh, to give rebuke, he wants to stay in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does he run away to? He runs away to a fish inside of the water, to the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, I don't want to go out. Unsuccessfully, though. Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu convinces him, compels him to go, because each person, Yonah, has a unique mission. Life which only he can accomplish. And so too, at the end of the day of Yom Kippurim, we read the Kriyas HaTorah of the Arayas to remind us it's going to be an Acharei. We have to take the experience of Yom Kippurim with us into the rest of the year, which is ugly and filled with Haveris, and we have to figure out how we're going to do that and start formulating a plan now. We have to do it now to start formulating a plan. How are we going to take this with us throughout the rest of the year? So we might be tempted to say, forget it, I'm running away, I'm staying right here in Yom Kippurim, the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In fact, the Vilna Gaon notes that in the solar calendar, of course, there are 365 days. That represents the natural world. The sun rises every day, sets every day. The laws of nature don't change. The moon, which is represents the spiritual world, it's always fluctuating. It's always going up and down like a ladder. It's just like spirituality. You're either going up or you're going down. So that lunar calendar of 12 months is 355 days. There's a 10-day disparity. So Vilna Gaon claims that those 10 days, the disparity between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar, correspond to the 10 days of Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Why? Because they're in a different spiritual dimension. The spirit physical world continues 365 days. The spiritual world takes a break. It goes from Yom Kippurim to the next Rosh Hashanah, and these 10 days are in a new dimension. We're alone with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Pasuk says in Parshas Ekev, Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over Eretz Yisrael, Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, Meireishis Hashanah V'yad Acharis Shanah. Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over the world, over Eretz Yisrael, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Why does it say from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? What's an easier way of saying that? All the time. All the time. Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over Eretz Yisrael all the time. What's the beginning of the year to the end of the year? So Satmar Rebbe once suggested, what it means is, from the beginning of the year, that starts after Yom Kippur. That's when we bench Rosh Chodesh, because that's when the new spiritual year starts. When does that run to? Till Rosh Hashanah, the next year, at Acharis Shana. What about these 10 days? That's Lamala Min Hazman. It's a unique time period. And therefore we say, you know what? I don't want to go out. I'm staying right here. And therefore, right after the Kriyas HaTorah of the Arayas, we remind ourselves, it's going to be an Acharei, we better formulate a plan to say, we lay in the Haftarah of Yonah to remind us, we can't stay here. Staying here forever is not an option. Because just like Yonah, each one of us has a unique mission in life that only we can accomplish. We say at the end of the Slichas, every day throughout Aseret Yemei Teshuva, an interesting pismon. We say, Mishana l'Avram Avinu b'Har Moriah, hu yanenu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you answered Avram Avinu at Har Moriah, answer us as well. Mishana l'Yitzchak, at the time of Akedas Yitzchak, remember us as well. He answered Yaakov b'Beisel, Yosef b'Beisel Asurim, Moshe b'Cherev, Yoyim b'Adaga, Daniel b'Goyv Arayos, Ezra b'Goyla, Kadosh Baruch Hu, remember us as well. Really, all of these people lived at critical, pivotal moments in Jewish history, were transcendent figures whose legacies, you know, need no introduction. Kadosh Baruch Hu answered them. Well, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer us too. What do we have to do with these individuals in this list? So Asher Weiss explains in his Minchas Asher, know that that's exactly the point. Each one of us is just as consequential, is just as significant as the people on that list, because each one of us, just like they, had a unique mission which only they could accomplish, we also have a unique mission which only we can accomplish, even though we don't necessarily feel that way all the time. Conclude with this. There was a well-known Italian composer named Arturo Toscanini. He died in the 1950s, I think, in Riverdale. But who is an expert in classical music. So he's once being interviewed on the radio, and they were playing a piece of music which they were commenting upon, and then he stopped in the middle and he said, it's not being played properly. So the interviewer said, how do you know? He said, because I know the piece of music backwards and forwards. There's supposed to be 14 violins, and I only hear 13. So the interviewer said, you can hear that there's only 13 violins instead of 14? He said he can hear it. So the interviewer was astounded. So he called up the place where the recording was made. And he found it wasn't that old of a recording. He called up and where the symphony had played the piece of music. And he found out that day, someone was sick. And that one of the violinists wasn't able to make it. And of course, this is has to do with the piece of classical music, how important every instrument is. But of course, it has a lesson for us as well. And that is sometimes we think that we're just, the 14th violin, part of a big group, everyone's playing the same tune, we're just doing the same as everybody else. But of course, each one of us, to the Ribono Shel Olam, who can hear every note, hear every beat, he can sense how many instruments are playing, each one of us has a unique role to play, a unique mission which only we can accomplish, just like Yana. So, Mirtz Hashem, may we all immerse ourselves in the mikvah of Yom Kippurim, v'zarakti l'chamayim tahurim u'tahartem, to receive the tahara of Yom Kippurim, but also to remember to formulate a plan how to take the kedusha of Yom Kippurim with us throughout the rest of the year, and remember that each one of us has a mission that only we can accomplish.